Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo, where we womansplain the latest technology. I'm your host, Gizmodo reporter Florence Ion, and I'm actually joined today. We're going to have a special episode of Dujets, is what I call, because we've got our only man on here with us today, Philip Tracy, here on staff with me at Gizmodo, reporting on the news. Hi, Phil.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for
being
here.
It's my second time on. I feel privileged. It's always great to be on.
You should feel privileged because, as we said, you're one of the only male voices that you'll be hearing on this podcast. So no pressure, but we're trusting you to pull this off. So
I got this. I got it locked
up. You're okay with that.
Yeah, okay. No worries.
Listen. You do have it. Caitlin is currently in transit to another galaxy far, far away, but Phil and I are taking a ride to the Samsung Galaxy because that's what we're going to be talking about today. All the new Samsung things that came out, whether you should buy them is really what we're going to get into. Phil, now you have, which galaxy do you have? You have one of the tablets.
I do, yeah. The Tab S8 Plus, which is neither the fanciest nor the cheapest.
The middle one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The middle one, the middle child of the Samsung line of tablet lineup. I'm sorry to all middle children out there who I now just triggered. So
I actually used that in my write-up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did, which I just submitted earlier today. So watch out for that review.
Psychological analysis of the tablet device lineup is happening here on Gizmodo.com. We really get into it. We're also actually going to talk, speaking of the psyche, we're going to talk about Peloton, which is about the body, but it's also about why this company that used to be like the darling of connected fitness has been getting some really bad vibes lately.
Yeah, things are going as badly as you could ever expect them to. It's just kind of bizarre because a year ago, their fortunes were completely flipped, and now just kind of out of nowhere, it's just one report after the next that things just keep going from bad to worse. Things are looking bleak for Peloton.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people are in that situation right now, as you know, where mask mandates are lifting and people are going back into the world. And so we're just finding our wallets are a lot less padded than they used to be.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I'm just trying to put one out there for Peloton. Finally, before we end our episode today, we're going to do a little bit of trolling. I'm admitting. We're going to talk about Windows. I'm calling the segment, usually we call it fangirl, but, you know, looking for something a little more like androgynous. I was trying to go for the stan segment, but considering there's a broader conversation about whether we should be relating to Eminem's stan because of the lyrics, we're kind of problematic. So I don't know. I have to like workshop that. Phil, I need you to help me. So if something comes to you,
I've just been thinking, yeah, I have nothing right now.
Okay. Maybe something will come. Maybe you'll tell me in a side Slack after we do this whole thing. And,
we'll have a producer
workshopping things here.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, with that, we'll be right back. Well, I've officially been delivered from Samsung hell, and I'm here on the other side to wave my banner of revolution. I have reviewed the Galaxy S22 Ultra and the Galaxy S22 Plus. They are on Gizmodo.com if you need the full rundown. And Phil, I feel like I know everything there is to know now about these two phones.
I do too, because I read your review.
Thank
and
you.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
The Ultra. Mm-hmm. You had mixed feelings about it. I mean, mostly positive, but like you said, it's a lot of phone that maybe not a lot of people need. The telephoto lens is one thing I think we need to talk about because it's the big differentiator there.
I've noticed a couple of folks in my social media circles who have access to this phone currently because it's not technically on sale. I think it goes on sale next week, but you can pre-order the new phones right now if anybody's interested. And as a side note, if you are thinking about getting these new Samsung phones, please find yourself a deal, trade in a phone. Don't pay outright full price and you know, they're really trying to like push deals on you. So take advantage of them. It's honestly a benefit. So all that said, yes, the Ultra has two telephoto lenses on it, which we kind of briefly touched into when they did the announcement 2 weeks ago. And I finally got to use them. And so I'm guessing you're referring to the picture of the moon that I took last week, the full moon. I think it was an Aries.
That's the one. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could see the craters. You could see the valleys of the moon, if I should say. I've never been to the moon, yeah. So I don't know what it looks like. But it's...
Yeah.
It was kind of, yeah, it was incredible. And the thing about that photo that I snapped is I didn't even use a telephoto, or excuse me, a tripod. I just propped the Ultra up against, I have this little railing. I have a faux, call it a French balcony, to be fancy, but it's just it's an open door that goes nowhere in my bedroom. So there's a guard because, you know, you don't want pets or children falling out into nothingness. And so I just kind of propped up the Ultra against it. And I was feeling kind of frustrated, though, using it because the Google Pixel 6, which in Android land is the phone to compare to for night shots, it's really good at knowing when to flip into the open shutter mode where it keeps the shutter open either from like 30 seconds or, you know, 4 minutes. And the benefit of that is, of course, grabbing as much detail and light as you possibly can. And then Google does all of its magic in the computer and makes this like, whatever, nicely themed photo. I was a little frustrated that like the Ultra camera system wasn't really doing that for me with the night shots. So I was extremely pleased that I at least got the picture of the moon that's supposed to advertise what Samsung calls space zoom, which is just a fancy marketing terminology for 100x digital zoom.
Lots of zoom. Yeah.
Lots of zoom.
More zoom than anyone needs.
Well, okay. Now that's debatable, right?
Yeah. The picture you took of the plane is also impressive because it shows that you can get the fast enough shutter speed to capture something that's moving really quickly, even at that distance. It seems like, I mean, that plane was very far away, so it's not, you know, it's still a small object in the picture, but it looks like it's in focus.
It was in focus, and it was actually pretty sharp for how far away and digital zoom it was, because that's when the camera started to rely on that, you know, digital software to do the magic for it. I didn't get the same results, by the way, out of the Galaxy S22 Plus, which is a different sensor anyway, but I'm just kind of mentioning, like, if you were saying, you know, why would anybody need this? I do think that I know I said birdwatching in my review, and I'm really serious. I have a lot of friends who have gotten into birdwatching during this pandemic.
Yeah.
Like close friends and just like acquaintances. People have been getting into like either birdwatching or just nature scoping of some sort, or just like, you know, I took my kid train spotting. So I'm just thinking about all of us olds who are like, let's go take pictures of mechanics and birds.
No, those are great uses. I mean, I remember being out on a trail in remote Texas, and there was this huge vulture that was like right above me on the trail, and I didn't want to get too close to it because it was right there.
They're
and
so
I, but
scary.
I wanted to grab a picture of it, and I only had like 2x zoom, and right as I got to, you know, the point where I could take an image that's good enough for putting online, the thing flew away because I was too close. So having that extra zoom, it could save your life.
It could save your photo. It could get you the picture.
It could.
By the way, what phone are you using? Are you an Android or Apple? We never talked about this.
Android. I have a Pixel 6.
Oh, thank God. Sorry to everybody out there using Apple. I realize I tell you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts for Gadgets. You should do that anyway, even if you're on Android. Anyway,
for those people, Apple's great. For everybody else, no.
I agree. I generally agree, but you know how we do on the show. We like to troll each other a little bit here and there. So at least on this point. So the Galaxy S22 Ultra, I did say it's like a little too much phone for everybody. It also starts at like $1,200, which is an absurd amount of money to spend even on something that you use daily.
Yeah.
I will admit.
Well, okay, so then there's the S22 and the Plus. Compared to those, does it bring that value? It seems like you don't think it does for most people.
I don't think the S22 Ultra brings as much value to everybody as the regular S22 Plus, I will say. Because the S22, the smaller one, okay, so we'll go into that one next. So there's two other small phones. There's three phones Samsung announced, and the two small ones are a 6.1-inch display and a 6.6-inch display. And I really liked the smaller phone a lot of people miss having small phones. And now that we've increased the screen size on those small phones, it's okay. It's a little more accepted to wield that, you know, in this day and age, as Apple showed us through their iPhone SE.
Right.
Which is somehow still around. But yeah, so the smaller S22 doesn't have like all of the magic of the S22 Plus. I don't know what I'm saying, magic. I mean, it doesn't have Wi-Fi 6E or ultra wideband support.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I know, in 2022. So,
no kidding.
Yeah. And folks who aren't aware, you do want to, if you're looking for a new phone, look at something that has all the new like Wi-Fi and cellular specs, because right now they're putting up all this 5G infrastructure, probably in your neighbor's backyard. Your neighbor's probably complaining about it. I may or may not be speaking from experience. And, you know, you want to make sure that your phone can log on to the things that you're like paying for. Otherwise, it's a waste of money.
Yeah. 5G is finally here. I mean, Verizon's recent rollout was really significant. It seemed like everyone had good things to say about that.
We could talk about that in another podcast, but
okay, all right, well, we can pivot here. I'm sorry.
it's dark and deep for me, but in all sincerity, yes, I know about Verizon's rollout. Please, how about let's move on to those tablets. So,
yes,
you know, the TLDR on the Samsung phones is the Ultra is a lot if you want to spend the money for it. But if you just want an Android phone that's not a Pixel, the Galaxy S22 Plus. Now, the Tab S8 series lineup. There's also three of them. I wanted to briefly like touch upon this and get your, like, how's it been like with the Plus? Like, how do you feel with the software and the hardware? Like, how it feels?
Good. I think it's that gap, that app optimization gap between Android and iOS, I think, is closing a little bit, even though Samsung's really the only one making Android tablets. And we have Android 12L to look forward to, which is supposed to make the big screen experience a lot better. So then you have, ideally, a tablet that can be used for work as well as for watching videos and movies, which this is still, that's why you should buy it. I mean, the screen is just unbelievable. The 12.4-inch on the Plus, the 14.6-inch on the Ultra, it doesn't get better. But
the Ultra Fill is also a laptop. It's not.
It is. It's huge. It's huge. And I should be getting that one in soon, Samsung. I think similar to the phones, the Ultra will be a lot. It costs, I think, $1,100. So that's a lot to spend on an Android tablet. There are still app compatibility issues with Android. They're still missing apps. So you don't quite get the full PC experience. Like you can't do everything you can on a PC on your tablet. And when you're spending that much money, that's kind of an issue. However, the screen is just so nice. If you need the best tablet for watching shows or even just browsing the web, doing basic things, then that's a great option. But again, $1,100 to spend on something that is best for basic tasks is it's a lot to ask for. Now this, the Plus that I just reviewed has the same screen, but it's smaller. It costs less. It's still $900. So the gap there is not huge.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a lot compared to like the iPad minis. You can get run for around, I'm going to say 400, let's say after taxes and shipping or whatever.
I think the Air is 500. Yeah. I think the Air is probably still the best value tablet. Because it has a very nice display. It's not as good as these, but it's almost half the price. So if I had to recommend a tablet to most people, it would still be the iPad Air. Despite my preferences toward Android. But if you have the money to spend, you just want to watch movies and shows, then these Galaxy Tabs are great. The smallest version is a more direct competitor to the Air. It doesn't have an AMOLED screen, which is a big downside because that, in my opinion, is...
That's like Samsung's thing.
The best feature. It is, yeah. So without that, it's like, that takes a lot away.
Where's the oomph? Where's the, you know, the sharpness and the contrast, like the deep contrast? That's what I like about Samsung displays.
Yes. So that's missing on the smallest one, the cheapest one. So you have to spend $900. If you get it now, they throw in a keyboard, which costs like $160 on its own. So if you're eyeing it, now would be a good time.
Yeah, get the keyboard.
They're great tablets. Just, yeah, definitely get the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just know the limitations going in.
Know the limitations. I feel like that's a good, bit for us to end on. Just know the limitations of what you're about to buy. We are going to be looking into some other... There's another Android tablet that I have here in my pile. We were talking about our pile of boxes before we started recording, as per the consumer tech journalist, burden to bear.
It's adding
and,
up.
Yeah, I've got a Lenovo tablet in here that actually is now getting Android 12L fully. So yeah, there's more stuff coming from us. This is an interesting year for us, Phil, I feel, in terms of hardware. It's like...
It is.
We're seeing a lot of evolution happening because everybody was like at home working, and now it's like, here it is.
Yes. And I'll just tease that there's a certain portable handheld console coming out soon. Very soon.
Oh, Phil.
I am just, yes, I'm drowning in reviews right now. All high profile products that all are releasing right at the same time.
All extremely fun stuff. I mean, I envy you/don't envy you.
Yeah, I just wish there was more time. But yes, the Steam Deck is coming, and I've been playing with it, but I'll just leave it at that.
Let's break and dash.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I remember this time last year, I was driving home in, I live like deep in the suburbs, and I was driving home from probably some like basic coffee franchise place like Starbucks, and everybody, I saw like two Peloton trucks pass me by on my 5-minute drive back up the hill to my house, and then I became that person. So there was definitely a period of time I can anecdotally say where it felt like everybody was buying a Peloton bike. But this year in 2022, we've actually seen kind of reversal of all that. Like last year, as you said, Phil, earlier in the podcast, it seemed like Peloton was making all of this cash. And now I keep getting served headlines in my Google feed about how things are not going well.
They really aren't. They're going very, very poorly. It is a... just a really steep drop in demand, likely because of the, you know, the pandemic, just the flow of things, and everyone already bought the bike, those who wanted it, those who had the money to buy one. And now we're
$2,500 is not an easy thing to spend money on when people are like, yeah, losing their jobs, right?
Yeah. And the former CEO said some wild things about how we expected so many people to be buying the hardware as if everyone, you know, had the money to do so. Recently, so many reports have come out just showing how just in bad shape the company is. When a year ago, I think everyone was praising Peloton for how it grew as a startup, and so now there are thousands of bikes in warehouses. Some of them are rusting. Some of them are being sold with rust. The company laid off 20% of its workforce. Its CEO stepped down, was replaced, and the value of the company has just plummeted. You could look it up now. If you go and go, you look at Peloton stock value, and it is just a steep, steep decline. We're both Pelotoners, right? And my wife's a huge Pelotoner.
I didn't know you were a Pelotoner.
Pelotoner, is that the word?
I do
most of the. I don't use the bike quite as much. See, that's the thing. I think they've relied too much on their hardware. In my opinion, I think the $2,000 is unrealistic. They have such an incredible, incredibly talented group of trainers.
I agree.
That I think they should have really pivoted toward. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll do Andy Spears' workouts, his strength workouts, his programs. And I never use the bike. I just have my own set of dumbbells, and I just use the Peloton app, and I would subscribe to it even without the bike. Mm-hmm. But they've relied so much on this image of being a really high-end premium brand that only rich people can afford. And it's definitely, I don't know, they've cast out too big of a crowd. Clearly.
Yeah. I also just personally, I know we're both speaking as Peloton users, but, you know, I feel, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you know, maybe you come from a different camp, but when I said to my husband, like, we should talk about, you know, investing in an exercise bike, because I stopped going to the gym as soon as I had my kid and as soon as this pandemic hit, because there's no way.
Yep.
I'm still like feel really weird about sharing space with people. Because everything we've been through. And I also, you know, with this whole like work from home lifestyle, it is easier to go into the garage and take like 20, 30 minutes to yourself than it is to like pack up the car, go down the hill, that whole rigmarole. And I need to move my body. Right. So we invested in this thing. And part of the real big catch for me were the classes. I knew that like my friends were on there. I could see what they were doing. You know, when Caitlin takes a class, I'll go like see what she's up to. She's much more advanced than me. She's a little more ahead. I'm a little more in the beginner section, but you know, it's the playlists for me that make me move, mm-hmm. which is why I'm so picky about like workout classes as it is. And a lot of these platforms that are available, either they cater very primarily to like Apple Watch users, for instance, which so does the Peloton, which is a bummer. I wish they would invest in that for people like me. It was just nice to finally like be a part of something that like everybody else could still do as long as they had access. Because I had a lot of friends who like bought NordiTrax at Costco, which are like $400 bucks, you know, a little more easy on the wallet, a little more accessible for people. But using like the Peloton app because, again, the instructors, they're personable. The track lists are great. The Spotify integration. So you're like, oh my God. Cody Rigsby, he was doing this like throwback, you know, millennial pop hits. And obviously I'm into Cody because I was part of the boy band Teeny Bopper phase. Still a big part of my life. And he reminded me of some songs that I loved. And like it's a way to keep you interacting. Like you feel like you have a parasocial relationship with the instructor.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Just like it's amazing psychology to like keep people into the ecosystem. And so that's where they should put all that money.
I agree. And they, you know, the instructors, they speak to you like as if you're having like a one-on-one training session. I also think what's great about Peloton is that there's for a lot of people, especially people who are starting out, who know that they need to start working out, especially during, you know, after the pandemic, during the pandemic when, you know, maybe our health and fitness have gone down. And they know they need to get into it. And even if it's not being worried about going to the gym because of the pandemic, there is an intimidation factor for a lot of people about being in the gym, about being around other people.
It's anxiety. It's
yes,
like,
you're
like, how am I performing next to these people?
Exactly. Am I doing this correctly?
Mm-hmm, we've been so depressed at home. And so like the idea of going to even like go for a run in front of other people, it feels like such an exposing thing. Whereas on Peloton, you could be relatively anonymous if you wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And so, you know, a lot of people I recommend Peloton to are not fitness gurus. They're folks who are trying to find a way into fitness. And what's really important about doing that is finding instructors or lessons that will teach you how to do certain workouts correctly. That's something that I learned early on when I just went to the gym on my own and I was doing all these workouts, and it was, I could tell that I wasn't doing them properly. But with Peloton, you have instructors that you can look at, you can mirror what they're doing. And so I think they should have pivoted to that instead of having all this marketing about, well, this is for people who are already really fit, who are very rich, wealthy, instead of, you know, the larger group.
That's what like Tonal does, that the one that goes into the wall. Yes. And has like all the fake weights or whatever. I feel like that is, the commercial is so like, you are very affluent and
yeah.
you know, your child is sitting with the nanny in the other room now. It's time for you to work out. And it's like, actually, yeah. My child is like on the floor with a tablet and I hope they don't notice I'm here like trying to sweat and leave me alone. That's the reality of it. You know, the other thing I think Peloton should maybe just, in speaking of, since this is a tech gadget podcast, and Peloton actually has like quite, again, I was attracted to it because of the ecosystem. Like it integrates with Strava, which I love.
Yep.
You could post to Instagram or make like a little badge to share with a friend. It's really easy to share like the links and track listing. The lane break game that they announced, which yes. Caitlin got to try out, and you can read that at gizmodo.com. I'll put that in the show notes. I still haven't played it just because life, but I'm looking forward to like when I can finally, I think this weekend I'm going to finally be able to like get on and do the game. I'm excited because I've been feeling like it.
Yeah, I haven't tried it either. My wife has, and I kind of looked over to see what was going on, and she said she had fun with it, that it was intense, that she was worried that it would actually encourage her to maybe go too hard.
Oh.
So she needed to like dial it down. But she did recommend it to me. She said there's like a Phil Collins game or Phil Collins, right, that I should try. We have a rift there, a Phil Collins. I like his music. She doesn't.
So I like Phil Collins' music, but oh my God, you guys should have a discussion one day about his love life. It's really wild.
Is it gonna ruin Phil Collins for me?
I don't think so. I don't think he's bad, but he does have, he's had some volatile relationships even now into his age. I think his ex-wife actually locked herself in his house in wow. like protest of, yeah, it's wild. I feel like that's a good thing for us to end on, for me just giving random nothing to do with Peloton, but you know what? This is what's in my brain right now.
Maybe thanks, a quick, Phil. which company do you want? Which company would you prefer to acquire Peloton?
Oh, yeah, because we keep talking about apparently Peloton getting acquired. Strava, why don't you just go buy Peloton? I don't know. I don't think Apple should do it. Okay, I agree on that.
Just
I don't
not
think...
Amazon is my answer.
Or Google. Sorry, Google. But it will disappear if...
It will.
You know?
Somebody has to.
They'll just put Cody on YouTube and then I'll never see him again. So we can't have that happen. Sorry, Cody. No advancement for you. Just kidding. Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're gonna talk about something very polarizing, even more so than Phil Collins' love life.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I have been waiting for this moment for so long to just finally talk to somebody about how Windows doesn't actually suck that much. Like, it's not that bad.
It's totally fine. And I'm here for you.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not here to... I could not get away with this if Caitlin was here, which is why I'm doing it now here with Phil. But also because Phil and I, we developed this friendship here on Gizmodo staff kind of based on our willingness to live our lives with Microsoft Windows operating system. And, you know...
It's a struggle that brings us together, really.
I agree. Oh, my God. Right. I was having that bad day. You were, like, one of the few people who would really, like, empathize with what I was going through. And so I was just like, Phil, I'm crying. All this is happening. And I appreciate
another it. Another blue screen of death.
I know.
Don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
And the irony is not lost on me that I wanted to actually start this conversation to ask you about your Windows journey. And I'll get into why in a second. I noticed a lot of people... friends that I've been with for a long time. We had our moment in the late 90s, early 2000s, where we were using our parents' computer, which is probably a Windows PC, to get online. But then as those friends went off to college and discovered like the few people with the iBook, like the white clamshell, or remember the matte black one that I think that's when
that
it was MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just like getting a lot of nostalgia flashbacks right now. But since that period of time, a lot of friends went like completely to Apple to the point where they're like, they have no problem spending the thousands of dollars on a Mac just right. for like web browsing versus what they would get for like $300 in like a yeah. Windows world.
It does web browse good, the Macs.
Yeah, I mean, and right at like high resolution. But I wanted to ask you, like, when did you get into Windows?
Yeah, in high school, I had an HP Envy, I believe. It had Beats Audio and just hideous branding.
Are
all
you
over
younger
it.
Than me? I think you might be younger
I'm not
than
sure.
me. Beats Audio. We're not going to go into your age. I think that's like
okay.
illegal
it
in
changes,
some states.
It changes tomorrow.
Phil?
Yeah.
Phil, everyone is a Pisces.
Yep.
Got a water sign on the podcast today. Well, happy early birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So I started with an HP, a big chunky thing with discrete graphics, mm-hmm. though. I could nerd out and play StarCraft, which was great, which I played with my brother for many years.
Can I tell you
and
something
then,
really, really just earnest about me?
Yeah.
Before I ever built a PC, I called, we all remember Fry's Electronics.
Oh,
for those of us on the West Coast and Central America.
There's like 10 minutes from where I live right now. I just, yeah.
For now.
Closed a couple of years ago.
I know. I earnestly called the tech help and asked them if you could swap out the integrated graphics in the HP laptop that I had.
If only.
The answer was no, but I sat on hold for that, and I felt like kind of a dunce. But you know, that's also good training for journalism because you have to call people and ask them just like outlandish questions and just be okay with rejection. So
it's true, but you were onto something because what if you could one day?
Well, you kind of can. This
wouldn't
wasn't
be
supposed
so
to be a combo
but...
about laptops, but yeah, they have like plug-in GPUs. It's ridiculous what they've done with laptops. But yeah, Windows, it's just been an interesting journey. Are you using Windows 11?
I am, yeah. Yep.
Is it safe?
Well, I've just been bouncing through Brave. I've been bouncing through review units, actually. So right now on a HP Spectre. And actually, my personal computer does not have Windows 11 because it runs on a 7th gen Intel chip, and mm-hmm. Windows 11 only supports 8th gen and up, which
For
is
those not in the know. We're
just
at 11
because come on,
right now at 11th
12
gen
now 12 now
12 now okay. I forgot. Oh, I've lost track of all this.
Are you using Windows 11?
I am not. That's why I was asking you.
Is
I'm
Windows
only...
11 on your XPS?
Mm-mm. Okay. I am refusing to upgrade right now because there's those like backwards compatibility situations, and I'm just, you know, I don't like to have my workflow interrupted. I fear change.
That's
part of my earth sign nature. So I'm okay with Windows 10 for now. But I was going to ask you, like, if you think people should upgrade now that it's been out for, it came out last October.
Yeah, I think most people should.
Okay.
Well, they don't have to. It really isn't that different. Windows 10 is fine. Windows 11 is a lot of the same. it's up to whatever. it's a tech reviewer advice. Do whatever you want. Windows 11 looks better, which is why I upgraded, or why I wish I could have upgraded, but why I like using it more than Windows 10. The functionality is the same, more or less. They've changed. A lot of people don't like the center taskbar. I don't either, but you can move it over if you want to. Like, the complaints people had in the beginning, Microsoft they've loosened up a little bit, and they've updated it so you can tinker with enough things. What I will say, though, is that if you're a power user, if you're a real Windows diehard, that you should really look into making sure that all the things you can use on Windows 10 are still there on Windows 11, because they're simplifying things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a super power user.
Okay. Yeah. In that case, probably wait. I don't think they're going to re-add everything. They're just trying to really button things up and make Windows 11 a lot more streamlined, which will anger some folks who like to dig down into menu after menu after menu.
I don't think
Windows will go back to that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's been interesting because I've been using the Surface Go 3 because I still have the review unit, and I just kind of use it as like a nighttime computer in the living room. And so I actually like Windows 11 because it's more touch friendly for that. I've been thinking a lot about all these OSs just because we know that Google's been like trying to make Chrome OS still happen, trying to make Fetch happen really hard over there. And I can't help but love to stick with Old Faithful, which for me is Windows 10 for right now. And I think I'm going to stay here just for a little while longer. And I don't need Android apps on my PC. So.
Right. Yep.
Mind-boggling.
Although they are arriving. They are arriving on the Amazon store, which I don't know why anyone would want to use that. I will say I think the main reason I use Windows in general isn't for the software. To me, whether Chrome OS, Windows, Mac OS, you can do all the same things on them, more or less. Mac has some nice benefits of some software that you can't get on Windows. But I'm a hardware guy, and so having those options is really important to me. Having the ability to have an OLED screen if I want one. What Dell's done with the XPS is, that's why my second laptop after the HP was an XPS 13. Prior to the edge-to-edge screen, I was 1 year before that. So I like having all of those hardware options, and that's why I'm an Android user. And I mean, I appreciate what Apple does, but the hardware is very nice, but it also bores me. So that's really probably the main reason why I
step
Android and
well,
Windows.
I'm going to make a note for a future Gadgets episode, because that sounds like something that could be fun with our Dojet. I think I'm going to just call you that now.
Dojet.
Listen, I had to come up with something, okay? I'm trying to stick with the whole theme that we got going on here. I'm just really happy that I have you here on staff to to be with me on Windows. And
to
think
talk Windows.
Yeah, exactly.
And on the topic of hardware, I have the next product I'm reviewing is the ASUS ROG Flow Z13, a gaming tablet.
Named after me?
A discrete GPU in the tablet. Yeah, they did. Yeah. I recommended it to them. And so it has a discrete GPU in the tablet, and it connects to an eGPU with an RTX 3080, I believe, which, again, it's like having those hardware options you can't get on Mac OS. And for now, you can't get on Chrome OS. For me, that's why I have to stick with Windows.
I'm laughing a little bit over here because for the uninitiated, the RTX 3080 is basically the graphics card that people have been buying up in droves to do Bitcoin mining. So know that. And I'm laughing because I'm also just thinking about the just grossly misinformed, bless them, who have tried to use a MacBook for crypto mining. Don't do that. I'm gonna leave that there. I'm going to leave that there. I feel like that's a good point for us to end on. Phil, I really just want to thank you so much for helping me host this week. It is like such a delight to have you, our newly dubbed Dudejet, here on Gadgets. So thank you.
Do you have t-shirts? I would wear that.
I will
also
make you
thank
one.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Well, before we're officially out of here, we want to thank our producer and sound engineer, Ryan Allen, who actually today, so you all know, we don't usually get to see his face, but today Phil and I had the pleasure of seeing his face because he's on video. So we also want to thank our cover designer, Vicky Lita, who is out there making beautiful art in the world. Thank you, Vicky. Reminder to all of you out there that you can email us here at Gadgets at gadgets@gizmodo.com. Actually have an email that I need to get back to today. So I want to thank you for using that address and sending in your comments, questions, concerns, or yeah, comment. If you've got a comment, you just want to like talk back to me or, you know, the folks that we have on here, we'd love to hear from you. So please do tweet at us at Gizmodo. And you can find me on my social media or on my social media on Twitter at Oh That Flow. Phil, where can folks find you?
Also on Twitter at @Philip_Tracy.
Oh, you also have an underscore. Bless.
I'm a little more creative. I do.
It's, you know, it happens. Definitely, if you are on Apple Podcasts and you didn't tune out after that conversation on Android and Windows, please leave us a review. We would really appreciate it. It helps us immensely there, as well as on Spotify, which has been, it's been growing. So head over there to listen to us. And until next week, we're going to be back with more for you. So stay tuned and have a great week, everyone.